And I feel like Lord has given me direction, certainly this evening, on the path and have us to go and ask you to pray for us. But I want to tell these preachers, every one of them's preached in front of me, and Brother Tim as well, he'll do a good job. I appreciate what I've heard, and I mean that from the depths of my heart. I tell you, it's been a help to me. And I can't read these verses, Brother Graham, without always thinking, man, I'm sorrier than dirt. Amen. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know about you, but I always find room to improve. And honestly, I hope I can get there by the end of the message. I'm going to try my best to stay out of your verses. Amen. Try my dead level best. But I tell you, it's Christ in us living his life. And just getting out of the way, I say try and do this and that, but Jesus said, let your light so shine. He didn't say try to make it, try to force it. He said, let it. Just be what you're born to be and submit to him and so on and so forth. And man, I want to do that. I went through something, it's been a while back. You'll forgive me for, I'll be mindful of the time when I'm done. I'll get out of the way when that time frame's over, maybe before. But I was going through the town where I live, I don't know, it's been half a year ago, probably sometime last summer. And I was really just clobbering myself over a shortcoming of mine. It's just one of the weights or sins that we deal with. Something I said, man, I'm sick of fighting with this and sick of dealing with this. And you helped me last night, Brother Melvin, because you can fix it today and you give that illustration, it'll be like this tomorrow. And I tell you, that's it, brother. I mean, that's it. That includes me. I'm in that long list of folks you was talking about that get it straight out. And Lord help me. But I tell you, it come to me just so clearly. Let me live my life through you. I mean, just let me live my life through you. And man, I got my answer. There wasn't no doubt about that. Instead of trying and forcing and pumping and the mental consent that we find that we try it, we look at these verses, we might try that in the power of ourselves to muster up charity or muster up whatever it is that we're dealing with and that strength. But I tell you, every bit of it lies within Christ. It's the Christ life inside of me and you that we have to submit to. This word charity, they tell us it's the highest form of spiritual love, the highest form. So I'm a guessing, and I'm assuming that's probably beyond me, because I'll be honest with myself. I'm like you, brother. I struggle. Amen. And went through something even this week. Maybe Lord, let me share it with you here in a little bit when we get to preaching. Man, the Lord helped me, and I was so grateful just yesterday. Why is it we can't? Boy, it'd be nice if you could delegate your problems with. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could say, okay, I'm gonna put this one thing off next week, and I'm gonna put that off to yonder, and ain't gonna have no kids sick, ain't gonna have nobody sick, ain't gonna have no financial difficulties. And but friend, it ain't up to me and you to delegate it. Amen. God knows what he's doing when he's doing it. Yeah, no wonder we have those tremendous words of admonition there in the Proverbs writer when he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I don't think some of it's going to cut it. It's going to have to be all or nothing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Just totally submit, surrender, whatever you want to phrase it, put it, don't matter to me. But just submit to that will. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. And boy, it's easy to do that, ain't it? There's been a lot of preaching about that, just leaning to self, looking to self thoughts. And I tell you, my carnal mind is enmity with God. There's no question about it. And it's not subject to the things that be of God. And boy, I need a spiritual mind, amen, to carry on the work of the Lord. Would you stand with us just for a moment? And we'll read these verses to you. Then we'll just try to follow the pattern I think that God's put forth. There's just one of these gifts, really, that I want to kind of zero in on. It's not prophecy and it's not knowledge, but it's this issue of tongues. Just try to lay somewhat of a foundation and then come back and just give a conclusion, because I do feel like there are some tremendous portions in these verses. And the very first statement I'll make Man, I don't know the key verse of 1 Corinthians 13. Every one of us will have a different opinion probably about it. But man, when he says charity never faileth, I mean, you could just circle that and underline charity, ever double underline never, and then come back and underline faith. My soul, what a tremendous statement. And of course, 13's got a tremendous statement. That's where he's just, I just don't know what you zero in on. And I appreciate everything's been said, but he said, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Remember what he said, the first part, charity never faileth. All right, verse number 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse number 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. I want to say this about verse number 8 before we have prayer. These three gifts are going to cease because they belong to a time of partial revelation. And I think that is so obvious when you look at verses 9 and verse number 10. There's different views and about verse number 10, about that which is perfect is come. Me personally, and I don't want to debate with you, don't want to argue with you, I believe that's the finished canon of Scripture. Now, there's others that would believe that may be a reference to the coming of our Lord. But I think when you look at it and examine it, I think it's pretty easy to see, in my opinion, that that which is perfect is come, that which is partial be done away. When our Bible was completed, I think all partial revelation is taken care of. And I appreciate the one right there. It may be me and you, Brother Vic. Amen. But I tell you, that's the way we feel about it. I thank God today that I have a Bible that I can trust. I thank God for the Word of God. We can hang our salvation upon its teachings and rest our soul upon its doctrines and find joy for the journey and peace along this way. But I really want to focus, if I can, on verse number 8 and give you what I feel like the Lord's put on our heart. But let's have a word of prayer before we do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for today. I thank you, Father, for this Bible conference. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Fortunato. I thank you, dear God, for his friendship. And I thank you, Lord, for these other good men of God that have preached to us. We thank you, Lord, for the word of faith. We thank you, God, for the word of the Lord. And I pray, Father, for clarity of mind and clearness of speech. And I ask you, Lord, to help us today as we study your word. And Lord, we know we have these things that are mentioned that will pass away, that will vanish, that will cease. And but God, you tell us expressly and clearly that if through charity, that it never fails. It matters not what generation we live in, nor dispensation, nor what time frame on your eternal clock, Lord. But God, we know that charity is always in order. Charity is, dear God, always in fashion. It never goes out. Fads and trends come and go. But this issue of charity, it is forever settled, Lord, that it never faileth. And God, we're thankful for that. Help us, Father, to submit ourselves unto you and allow you to live your lives through us that we might be pleasing unto you. God, I pray you bless the man of God that pastors this church. Please, God, give him the desires of his heart. And I remember the days all too well years ago when we planted a church in our home county. And Lord, those days of slow sailing. And then, God, the days of excitement and always the days, dear Lord, of expectancy of seeing folks saved and lives changed and homes held. And I pray today, God, that you bless Brother Jimmy in that fashion. Please, God, bless him with the desires of his heart. Bless these other dear men of God that have stood. Give us the truth of your word. And Father, may we examine it closely. Maybe we adhere to it and desire, Lord, to conform to it and allow you, dear God, to do what you please in our lives. I do not want to be ashamed at your appearing. So please help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. And I heard some of you praying for us. And I appreciate that. Amen. We always appreciate God's people's prayers. Now, we find in these verse number 8 that the Bible said charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But that issue about failing, prophecies failing, tongues ceasing, that means to come to a complete stop. And I realize in studying this book, and you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that we've just left out of chapter number 12. And our brother done a good job plowing through a lot of that last night, and I was grateful for it as we examined that along beside him and with him. And we come back again to this issue of tongues. And then we're no later going to get out of this chapter, that there's going to be a whole chapter again divided or designed, if you will, and dedicated to this issue of tongues in chapter number 14. So it's this ongoing issue, and Paul, the writer being used of God, is trying to impress upon the church at Corinth, the most carnal church of all the churches. And we know that two letters are recorded in our Bible to them. Some, I think it's 20 plus chapters, 27, 28 chapters is given to them. And more wrote to them than there is anybody else as far as the writings of the Apostle Paul. But they're struggling to get these things nailed down. There's more emphasis in the wrong place than rather in the right place. And that is their conduct between one another. There's schisms in the body. Paul told them earlier on in this epistle that it's commonly reported there's division among you. Some say they're of Apollos, some of Paul, some of Cephas, who is Peter, and so on and so forth. But I tell you, if they could have exercised charity, these divisions would have ceased. And our brother's done expounded upon that here just a moment ago. All the great characteristics and the nature of charity itself in the verses prior to where we are. But he said, these tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, he said, it's going to vanish away, for we know in part. He said, we just have a limited knowledge, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. And he said, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So if I can look at this issue of tongues, if you'll bear with me for a few moments, I want to try to lay a foundation and just try to bring it back to verse number 8. And I feel like that's the way the Lord has directed us. I know there's a lot of confusion about tongues and so on and so forth in the day in which we live. And it seems to be an ever-sweeping epidemic in the church world and Christendom in our day and in our hour. I remember when I first got saved in the county I live in, the Arminianist is very strong in that area. I mean, it's got a death grip on it. In fact, I wasn't saved in an independent Baptist church. I was saved in what many would consider an old-fashioned Methodist church. But I got to study my Bible, got in the book, amen. Book started getting in me, and I wasn't there but just a few years. And it takes a while, man. You're listening to everybody tell you and preach to you and misrepresent and misinterpret verses. Matthew 24, 13 is a good one. He that endureth thee and the same shall be saved. After that is drove into you, amen, like a railroad spike. You know, it's kind of hard to sort that out, especially as a young convert. I mean, you know, we're trying to get off the milk and on the meat, and we ain't getting it at the church where we attend. Instead, we're hearing other things. But thank God for the day when the Lord began to help us understand that once a man's saved, he's always saved. When a person gets born again into the family of God, they're forever in the family of God. I say hallelujah to Jesus. Thank God. I guess the best thing you got outside of being saved is knowing for how long you're saved. Amen. It took a few years, Brother Jimmy, the Holy Ghost working in me to help sort that out. But the church I got saved in, they just went through a split. And the reason they went through a split was because of the charismatic movement that come through our county. And at one time it looked like, you know, maybe that that thing would have died off, but it's, there's been a reemergence of it. And it's the folks feel like they are superior, like me and you are missing out. And I too have sat in those services where it was practiced. Is anybody out there? Amen. Oh, Lord, help us today. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the Bible. But there's a lot of emphasis at the church at Corinth, and they're puffed up about these gifts. I mean, there's a lot of pride there. There's a lot of self involved. And I think we need to go back just for a few moments and look at it, because thanks be to God. And I want to say this. I want to say it the right way. And I struggle sometimes with knowing how to frame my words. I know what I want to say, but I'm not eloquent enough to say it. Amen. Or wise enough to say it or whatever. But I want to say this. Tongues was a spiritual gift. There's no question. And I think sometimes if I'm not careful, I fight and strain so hard to rightly divide the Bible. Maybe I do lose some charity along the way. Maybe I would vaunt myself. Maybe I would be puffed up. Because where we feel like we stand, where the Word of God stands. And we feel like we're on the right page about knowing that tongues have seats. Is anybody, you with me? But it was a gift. And I could see, thanks be to God, I could see where God allowed that and used that to verify and to vindicate the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was indeed the sent one. He is the Messiah. I could not imagine coming out for centuries now. My fathers, my forefathers, their predecessors, their forefathers, for centuries now, we have been functioning. But they, I mean, I get it. They ought to know. And Jesus said, have you not read? What an insult. I mean, if you will. I say an insult. What a reproof. What a reproof. Have you not read the scripture? For they testify of me. They ought to know. Jesus Christ himself looked at Nicodemus. He said, art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? Yeah. He said, I mean, you've got a whole Old Testament. You ought to have been aware of my coming. If you know anything about Daniel, you would have known when I was going to come. Somebody have me here. If you know anything about Micah, you would have known where I came. Yeah. If you know anything about Deuteronomy, amen, you would have known, amen, some things about my birth and my ministry and who I am and what I'm here. If you'd read Isaiah 53 and seen me as meek and lowly, then you could have known about me. They're struggling, and I can imagine. And so I got to go on record and say this. Thank God for the mercies and the patience and the long-suffering of our God that would allow signs and wonders to be done in this day and in this hour to help vindicate the gospel. To help, I mean, the Jews required a sign. And that's what I want to try to get to. If you'll bear with me just for a few moments, and we'll try to, my soul in the morning. Woo! We'll try to hurry. Amen. And I sure ain't gonna get another preacher's time, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 22, we're plainly told, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And I don't have time to deal with the knowledge and the prophecy. And I really feel like this is where the Lord, with the one thing that he wants us to deal with out of these verses and come back and compare that to charity. But we find in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 22, the tongues were for a sign. Now, when you study the Old Testament Jew and the Old Testament Israel, we see signs beginning with the nation of Israel. And I want to be very clear. We have not, the church has not replaced Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. And so I believe it might have been Brother Vic preached on that last night. Amen. Thank God us old Gentiles just got grafted in. I'm glad, thank God, I found a place in the body of Christ, though it was a mystery. I'm glad I'm a part of it today. Hallelujah. Part of this born again crowd. But you come to Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it onto the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Moses fled before it. That's pretty wise, eh? If it's a snake, I'm running too, brother. I don't even care if it's rubber. I'm still running, amen. I'm telling you, neighbor, I'm getting out of town. Well, the Bible said in verse number 4, and the Lord said to Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom when he took it out. Behold, his hand was as leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand in thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again. And he plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, if thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So we see God working with Israel in patience and in mercy, giving them signs to help them grab a hold of the truth. Help them understand, hey, it's vindicating the message of this deliverer. It's vindicating his message is from God. And we find that through different dispensations throughout our Bible, through different time frames, that God would do special wonders and works to vindicate, amen, the message that these men were heralding, the message that they were proclaiming, the message that they were bringing. And God allowed these wonders and signs to take place, especially among the nation of Israel, the Jews. There's a pile of other places I could read, but I'm not going to go there for sake of time. But tongues, again, I go on record saying they were to vindicate, they were to verify the message of the Savior. And we find Jesus telling them in Mark chapter number 16, this is what he said. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Again, we've come into that word signs. And if I hadn't talked so long before I started preaching, we would give you more verses along this way, but that's all right. I felt like I need to share that with you. Maybe you can pray for those folks, amen, that God will help those families. But he said, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we find different sign gifts in Mark chapter number 16. All the sign gifts have ceased. There's no more need for them. We have the written revelation of God's word. The partial revelation, the signs would cease when that which is perfect is come. There's no more need for that. Thank God when John signed off, amen, and we already know the gift of healing was phasing out. Paul, there was men, Paul could no longer heal, but there was a time they could have took a handkerchief off his body. And let me say something about that. They never anointed those handkerchiefs. Now, where I come from, prayer cloths are a big deal. Are you listening to me? Prayer cloths are a huge deal. I don't ever find where they prayed over those cloths, that apron or that handkerchief off the body of Paul. I never find where they anointed it with oil. I never find where they printed any verse on that. Are you listening to me? It was special miracles wrought by Paul. Not Peter. Not the church. Come on now. Not the church. Paul. But there is so much emphasis on things that are partial. So much emphasis on things, amen, that really, in the grand scheme of things, God's going to phase them out. God's going to get rid of them. They're going to be let go. They're going to disappear. They're going to vanish. They're going to cease. And there's so much emphasis laid to that, when really God is telling us, hey, I will show unto you the more excellent way. I've got something better than all this temporary stuff. I have something better. Just let me live my life through you and let me exercise my chair to the highest form of love in you and through you, and you can make an eternal difference in somebody else's life. Thank God for the granny that helped that fellow when she spoke to him when he caught her going up the steps. I love Jesus more than anything. How about you? Done more for him if she'd have spoke in an unknown tongue or give him some great foretelling or forthtelling, some prophecy, some knowledge, that spiritual illumination that was so needed in the infancy of the early church. You got to understand the church is in its infancy when these letters are written. And in Ephesians, we come to it and we find what God is trying to do. Listen, the Bible said in verse number 8 and chapter number 4, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. You know your pastor. Is it okay if I address the church? Pilgrim Baptist Church, you have a gift.
Yes, sir.
You have a gift. It's this man of God. It's his family. They are a gift. And they are a gift from God to help you along this journey. To watch for your soul, to help bear your burdens, to disciple you, to give you the truth, to help you to grow. Thank God for this conference.
Yeah.
Not everybody's having a conference on charity. Amen. Not everybody's having a conference on that. But thank God for this meeting. Thank God for last year's meeting, combating Calvinism. I'm glad he tasted death for every man. Hallelujah. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all come by. But he's a gift. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some. And he didn't tell me to say that. Amen. And he gave some apostles and some prophets for the foundation of that early church. And some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Well, there it is again there, brother. As you focused on that last night, for the building up. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man in the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. They're children. And you'll tackle that in a minute. I'm going to leave it alone since you're going to. They're children. They're immature. And as children and immaturity, and I'm going to stop right there. We see them struggling to move on to this more excellent way. There's a struggle there. Let me just give you a few thoughts and just some things. I just jotted down and I've exhausted too much time. But I want to give it to you. We see charity in chapter number 13 and its contrast. In the first verses, then you see charity and its character in the verses that Brother Mike just dealt with a moment ago. Then we see charity and its consistency. Charity and its consistency. It never faileth in verse number 8. It never faileth. W. Graham Scroggie, I love reading behind him, and I hope you'll be okay with me quoting him here this evening. But I want to give you what he said about this issue of never failing. He said, it never falls to the ground as do the petals of a faded flower, because there is no element of decay. Talking about charity. It means that charity never loses its strength as does a weary traveler who gives up a journey. It means that charity never leaves its place as do falling stars. It never faileth as do falling stars. It means that charity never drops out of the line such as an exhausted soldier would on the march by the way. Charity never faileth. Can I submit to you this evening that she patiently and triumphantly marches on, plodding straight ahead? Charity is immortal. Discouragements, failures, hardships, troubles, and trials cannot stifle it. Satan cannot strangle it, though he may try. Misgivings cannot sour it. Sufferings cannot stop it. You say, why, Brother Andy? Because it never faileth. Never. I mean, we see charity in its crowning virtue. The word never, we see its continuance, though it's tried. This word never, it champions all other gifts, personalities, charisma, intellect, sacrifice, and apparent spiritual successes. I submit to you this scene, my friend, that charity never fails. never fades, never comes behind, never lessens our character. Self-kindness will fail you. Self-sacrifice will fail you. Self-life imitates, trying to imitate Christ, trying to power our own way through, trying in our minds, because we know to exercise charity will not last. But charity never faileth. Charity is more essential than gifts. Charity is more effective than human effort. And charity is more efficient than just a mental consent. It outlasts them all from generation to generation, dispensation to generation, dispensation to dispensation, and outlasts them all. I give you this in closing. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me. How can God reveal his son in us? Through the workings of charity. And they verse 24, and they glorify God in me. See, God wants to reproduce himself in every believer. He wants to reproduce himself in every child of God. And they glorified God in me. How do they do that, Paul? Through charity. There's no question. The same, he said in verse number 8, chapter 2, Galatians. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. In verse number 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Charity never faileth. Never. You may not end at one time. Not once. Surely, Brother Andy, some verse, charity is all. It never.